brought to you by journalists and best mates, Frankie Grattan, that's her, and Charlie Gams Eglinton, that's me. Franks, how are you?
I'm well, thanks, Charles. Good morning.
Good morning. Welcome to my kitchen.
Merci beaucoup.
The hottest ticket in town.
Thanks for the coffee this morning.
You're so welcome. Two cups deep.
It was all I thought about from waking up this morning to getting here was having a coffee.
Have you been?
Good. I've had an epiphany.
What is it?
Makeup.
Good or bad?
Good. Very okay. Good.
I had to ask because you're not wearing any.
Oh yeah, I know. Okay, so ignore my bald, shiny face whilst I tell you this story.
It is dawn though.
So. We're recording very early in the morning. But I did a photo shoot the other day and it was the first time I've worn makeup, as in a full face of makeup, a light dewy base, eyebrows, eye definition, some sculpting via bronzer and blusher, and a bit of lip gloss.
Gloss.
I know. There's this new balm by San Beauty, S-A-N-N. It's a balm, but it gives a really nice glossy sheen and not sticky.
Okay.
Lovely. Anyway, so it's the first time I've done that since the beginning of the pandemic. As previously discussed on this podcast, when the pandemic hit, I just let everything go. Underwear went, makeup went, hair washing went, I went full grot bag.
She never used to shave her legs. That didn't go. That was a constant.
Yeah, but I have actually shaved my legs this morning.
Joking.
For the first time in.
The thing is, investigative journalism, I'm just checking. Oh my God, so
silky, smooth.
Under the table reach.
I've been waiting to go out to shave my legs, but I just haven't been out. And so my leg hair was getting seriously long. And I'm wearing a cropped trowel and I wore them to toddler class yesterday. And I sat with my legs crossed. And a bit of shin came out of the bottom of my crop trowel. And holy moly, I could do a shaving those.
It's a style choice.
It's a style choice, but my leg like a cactus.
I personally enjoy the aerodynamic feeling of a shaven leg. Mm. And also, moisturiser's just easier, isn't it?
So much easier. So, put some makeup on for the first time. And was like, hello 2019 Frankie. I just thought the pandemic had aged me. Turns out I just wasn't wearing makeup.
I see.
I looked at the face in the mirror and thought, I remember you. Footloose and Fancy Free, before pandemic, before kids. Wow, welcome back. And I loved it so much. So I've been continuing to do it.
Great.
Thank you. Makeup.
You could probably make quite a lot of money. Somebody should start some businesses. Maybe we could build an industry around this.
God, I tell you what though. That's the kind of makeup I used to wear every single day into the office. Mm. So 5 days a week. And you just get so unused to having makeup on your face. It is nice not having anything on your skin and rubbing your eyes and knowing you're not putting mascara all over the place. On that note, actually, I have tried a new mascara that I really love by Blink Brow Bar. Mm-hmm. Brow products are great, but they've done a new mascara and it's that tubular mascara. It's kind of just plastic on your eyelids.
Tubing.
But it doesn't come off when you rub your eyes.
But will it hold a curl? This is what I want to know.
It holds a curl.
Because as you know, I've got these sort of sad eyelashes. Unless I wear a waterproof mascara, they're just boop, right down.
I found they do hold a curl and it comes off with warm water because I can't use eye makeup remover. Sensitive eyes. So waterproof mascara is not for me.
Great.
Come find me in the bathroom where I'm troweling on some makeup.
Here's a loaded question for the purposes of the podcast, Frankie. How was your rescheduled birthday dinner?
Oh, we had to cancel it again. Don't. So my birthday's in December. It got cancelled because of a Omicron breakout. Invented a circle. And then it got rescheduled for 12th of Feb, Saturday night. Cancelled again. Ben was portly again. Honestly, it's like a running joke. Which is why I just had to shave my legs. Because I was waiting to go out to shave my legs. I've been waiting since December the 17th to shave my godforsaken legs to go out. I've just had to bite the bullet and do it. Because apparently I'm never going out for dinner ever again. Help me. I'm jinxed. I had to just sit on the sofa and watched Billions on Now TV. It's the best programme in the whole wide world.
What is it?
It's about a billionaire, and he's got, I think, a big hedge fund, some sort of trader, and his nemesis is a really high-up lawyer. It's in New York, and they go at each other, and it's gripping. Damian Lewis.
Oh, yeah.
Who I've always fancied. Mm-hmm. It's 6 series. How brilliant is that?
Oh, you've really invested some time there.
Yeah, each episode is an hour long. Wow. So this is going to see us through till spring. So I watched 2 episodes of that to console myself and ate some Toblerone, which is another thing I've gotten into. Anyway, riveting recap from me. How are you?
Great. My Saturday was actually lovely. And like I was in a Richard Curtis film.
Ooh, tell
for
me.
For 2 reasons. Because I went to interview someone at a press junket in a hotel, which already made me feel like I was Hugh Grant in Notting Hill.
Of Horse and Hound magazine.
Fabulous. I love nosing about hotel foyers. Mm. It was in the Café Royal.
Piccadilly?
Yeah. It was then a glorious sunshiny day, so I walked through Soho, and then I bumped into our friend just in the street in Soho, which is a thing that doesn't happen in real life.
Yeah, it doesn't. It doesn't. Considering we know quite a lot of people in London. London is just one of those places you never actually bump into people
well,
you know.
Well, there's a fair amount more people here than we know. But bumped into a friend, neither of us had plans, went for lunch.
Dream.
Yes, very much the dream. Felt like I was in a rom-com.
Delicious.
I mean, there was no romance. She's gorgeous, our female friend, but not my type. Yeah. And also married with a child. But rom-com vibes anyway.
Lovely.
That's kind of it.
Speaking of rom-coms, have you watched Tinder Swindler?
I have. Wow.
So it's on Netflix. It's the story of a man called Simon Levive who poses as the dream boyfriend. Very flashy. Says he's very wealthy. He's on dating apps, specifically Tinder. Lures in women under the pretense of being their Prince Charming, and then defrauds them for loads and loads and loads of money.
It's amazing to watch.
It's about an hour and a half. There's 2 main victims whose stories you hear, but then a third one kind of gets drafted in, and I'm really into her.
I have so much time for her.
Yeah, because she manages to serve it back to this guy in a quite brilliant way. But I do want to really talk about this, because I think it's every woman's worst nightmare, being conned. I think the dating scene as it is, we're so aware to look for red flags and it feels quite dicey. But what I found so interesting about this is that when you hear of women being conned through a relationship setup, you assume that they are sad, lonely, older, that's the picture of them you get painted.
On the shelf.
Exactly, and that they were kind of desperate, so went along with something, even though it probably was a bit dodgy, but they just wanted to get carried away with it. That's the stereotype that we get told about. But when you listen to these 2 women talk, so the first one is called Cecilia and the second one is called Panilla, they're not naive. They're so smart. But you see them get sucked into this guy because he's so smart and he does prey on this idea of being the romantic lead in their story. And it's really no wonder when you think about the diet of rom-coms that we've all grown up with. Pretty Woman, My Fair Lady, Cinderella, all of the rom-coms, that if someone poses to be this magnificent, wonderful person with all of these romantic gestures, that you might get swept away by it, because that's kind of what we're told is the goal.
I mean, firstly, I was relieved. I'm not a very attractive, tall, blonde Scandinavian woman, so I don't seem to be Simon's type. But I'm relieved and stand by the fact that I never find flash people particularly attractive, because all his pictures are him on the back of a boat and him on a private plane. And I would have been like, all right, mate, stop leading with your wallet. But my first response, though, and I think why they did all that Disney and rom-com and stuff at the beginning, was to show us that Cecilia was getting swept up in the romance bit. Because I balked at her first date with him. She goes and meets him at his hotel. They have a coffee. Fine. But then she goes and gets on a private plane with him. And the most horrifying dating stories that I know are ones of being unsafe or ones of women being threatened. So this isn't that story. There's not sexual violence. There's not any discussion of that. But that's what threw me the most, because actually I can see why you buy into somebody's lifestyle. But the level of trust that they leapt in with. And we should be able to trust. And it probably just goes to show that I have been on dating apps for too long that I don't, because my default is not to trust and to worry, and that I would never be so spontaneous as to just jump on a plane with someone, because maybe I have trust issues. But certainly my understanding of the dating scene is that it can be really quite horrible and scary.
And you just don't know who people are.
What I do find interesting as well is this conversation. So there's a piece on Vogue that Bella Mackey wrote. The Tinder swindler's victims were neither stupid nor gold diggers. And that kind of sums up a lot of the conversation that's being had around the show, is that because he was wealthy, because they went on a private plane on a date or stayed in a nice hotel or he sent a big bouquet of roses, that what, they somehow deserved it? That they should have known better? That they should have known they don't deserve flowers and dinners?
Well, and that they were after his money.
That they're gold diggers. I mean, I think it's telling if somebody watches this and it jumps to that, it probably says more about that person.
Well, it's this whole victim blaming thing. And I listened to a Millennial Love podcast episode that was actually at the screening of Tinder Swindler. And Cecilia and Panilla were there, and Olivia, the host, interviewed them. And they were talking about victim blaming and the response that these two women have had since it's all gone public. And there has been an awful lot of support for them, but there's also been an awful lot of people saying that they're gold diggers, as you were saying, that they deserved it, and blah, 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 blah. And it just reminded me, you know, when Kim Kardashian West was robbed in Paris, and it was all, it's her fault, she posted all of her jewellery on Instagram, and she asked for it, and even countless stories of women being assaulted on the street, and, I mean, this definitely happened in the aftermath of Sarah Everard, but it was like, why are women out on the street late at night? Why are they wearing short skirts or whatever it is? It's always the woman's fault. We have this culture of a guy has done something awful to a woman, and yet somehow the woman has invited that to happen to them. And this has happened with this Tinder swindler piece. It's, you're so stupid to have trusted this man, and you were only after his flashy lifestyle, therefore you deserved everything you got for it. That's not at all how that should work. These women have been targeted by a fraudster who has practiced his tactics and approach on countless people and is a master at doing it, and they've been sucked in.
The third woman who we meet later on was in a 14-month relationship with this guy.
I mean, can you just imagine?
So you would have to be so cynical to be dating someone for that long, and then they ask you for some money and you go, oh, might this be a long con? You're not going to assume that. Yes, okay, we see documentaries, you hear about con men, but it kind of is like a Hollywood film, and you're not going to assume that this guy that you've met, that you've been dating for 14 months, when he asks you for some money, that actually he's dating women all around the world and racking up credit card debts, and he assumes different identities. Of course you're not.
No, it's the stuff of Hollywood films. It's not real life. And also, we've spoken about this before. There's this idea that women aren't allowed to take money into the equation when looking for a partner, because that's somehow surface and gold diggery. However, I think it's a really fucking smart move, because thanks to the gender pay gap, thanks to if you have children, it normally being the woman's career and finances that get sacrificed to an extent. Well,
men's salary expectations go up
when they have kids. Yeah, because they're seen as responsible. Yeah. And women's go down because they can't commit to all the hours required. And they're seen as, they're probably going to have to call in sick when the kid's sick and leave early and all of that crap, and we don't get paid as much as men to bloody begin with. We know that we are at a disadvantage. So then, therefore, to me, it makes sense to, all right, you don't need to date someone with a private jet. But when you're looking for something to build a stable relationship with and potentially build a family on that, finances are going to come into it in a practical level of like, right, how can we build something? What can we afford? It is a factor.
Well, it's one of the many things you consider, because it's naive to think you don't have to consider that. or if you don't have to consider that, that's because you have your own financial security. We are going through recession after recession, job losses, the housing market is ridiculous. For me personally, I live alone, as I bang on about all the time. My rent is really expensive. It will be much less expensive for me to pay the mortgage on a one-bed flat, but I can't get a mortgage for a one-bed flat because it's a stupid system. But for me then, having had all of these years of some financial insecurity, and I'm very lucky, I can afford lots of nice things in my lifestyle, but I do worry and I do have months where I have cash flow problems and all sorts. If I met someone who said, you know what, I prefer to just live my life and I'm not really about money and I live in a spare room with a friend and I just spend as little as I can, that would be a consideration, because I work really hard to be able to afford a flat. And if I got into a relationship with someone, I'd love to be able to buy a flat together, in which case you both have to be working really hard. And to me, that's just sensible. Otherwise, I'm going to get to retirement age and not be able to afford to retire because of the way our system works. And so obviously there's degrees of wealth and financial security. But yes, for women who know that, okay, if I want to have a child, I might then get made redundant, which happens all the time to lots of women that we know.
Yeah.
You know, statutory maternity leave is really bad, or I might not be able to afford childcare. You think about all of these things, you have to consider your finances and your finances collectively as a pair if you're going to link yourself to someone.
Mm.
So it's an incredible privilege, I think, to be able to not consider finances if you're seriously wanting to be in a relationship with someone.
Mm.
And men should be thinking about it too.
Mm.
I'm sure there are lots of men who are in a similar financial situation to me who are thinking, okay, well, if I ever want to own a home, I'm going to have to make sure that I choose someone who's also working, who's also saving with that long-term goal.
Mm.
And it's not about wealthy, but it's about having similar priorities.
Exactly. So I think this whole idea that they're gold diggers is rubbish and offensive.
And one of them does bring up that Marilyn Monroe quote, that a man being wealthy is like a woman being pretty, and you might not marry her just because she's pretty, but doesn't it help?
It helps.
And at no point has anyone mentioned that I've read how he's choosing women. He's not just choosing women based on their personality. They're all gorgeous.
Yeah.
Blonde Scandinavian women. And it's this kind of peculiar expectation that you should be so grateful that any man talk to you, that wanting anything beyond just a nice man makes you greedy or vain or...
I hate it. And the thing that is just astounding about all of this is that he has not been charged for any of these crimes. And it's not just these three women that are in the film. There are countless.
But he'd done some prison time, right, for doing this to some other women.
Had he?
I thought so.
He got jailed in Greece for 15 months that he served in Israel. But because of COVID, it got reduced to 5 months. And then he was back on Instagram posting his flashy lifestyle.
And he's got a new model girlfriend.
It's just... it baffles your brain. Because obviously this has come out and the Anna Delvey series on Netflix has also come out, and you compare them. Both are fraudsters, both have lied about being incredibly wealthy to get more money from other people. Simon has got off at the moment really lightly, is continuing his flashy lifestyle, continuing, we're assuming, to defraud women to fund the lifestyle that he is portraying on Instagram. Anna Delvey is in Rikers Island with numerous charges. She's facing deportation. Different countries have different legal systems, and Anna's crimes were mainly committed in America. But it's just interesting to compare the treatment of the two. I mean, she defrauded a lot of banks as well.
If you go after rich people, you're going to go to prison. Whereas if you go after some women who, one of them gave him a house saving money.
I know. I mean, Cecilia's bankrupt. She's had to claim bankruptcy. And a lot of the banks are still demanding that they pay. Like, these women, their finances have been fucked for life. I'm sure it's not as obvious as it being a man's committed a crime against women, a woman's committed crime against banks, which are pretty much run by men. And Anna did also defraud individuals, including women. But it's just, interesting to see one of them appears to have got off pretty lightly. The other one is in jail for a really long time.
Oh, it's absolutely hideous. I do think it's weird the way we look at money and the way that we consider women gold diggers. I say we, obviously I don't.
We as a society.
It's just one of those go-to insults. It's just like calling women sluts. It's just a way to suddenly completely undermine you and everything you are. It's bizarre. Obviously, we do shame men a little bit in the media for only dating women who look a certain way, or, you know, Leonardo DiCaprio only dating women under 24. We talk about that and we joke about that, but not in the same way that actually, if a woman wants to date a tall man, she can't be a good person. She's just this incredibly shallow person.
Yeah.
If she wants to date a man who is financially stable, then she's a gold digger.
Yeah.
But it is women who end up so often in a really precarious position.
The thing that I found wonderful and a bit heartbreaking about this whole thing was the fact that these women have made a beautiful friendship out of it. Listen to the podcast, the Millennial Love episode. They're laughing about it. They acknowledge that they've been through the absolute shit. Cecilia had to commit herself into a psychiatric ward because she was that low. These women have been through the ringer, and yet they've managed to come out of it with smiles on their faces. Life will go on. They're still dating. They're still using the apps. And I just thought, the fucking resilience of women. They are trying to get on with their lives.
In good news for women, well, it's not really actually, Prince Andrew settled at court.
Yeah.
He's managed to do a complete non-apology, non-admission of guilt. But I think he's ruined now, isn't he? He's lost all his military titles. He's lost all his ability to do public appearances. I think that's really important and kind of amazing that he wasn't untouchable as a member of a royal family, as a man in such a position of power. Also, Renee Zellweger fat suit.
I don't know what you're talking about. Tell me.
So, Renee Zellweger, let me toggle over here.
Of Bridget Jones fame.
Has worn a fat suit in a new film. So she is playing Pam Hupp. And this is a true crime dramatisation of a true story.
Mm-hmm.
And I read a really interesting piece by Catherine Singh on Refinery 29. The thing about Pam's fat suit proves Hollywood still has a fat phobia problem. The piece particularly mentions Fat Monica and Rosemary in Shallow Hal, Gwyneth Paltrow.
Yeah, Shallow Hal.
And I did think we had stopped using fat suits. So this kind of, in my mind anyway, aligns with that conversation about how much a role should belong to someone who identifies in that way. When we have these conversations about representation, if the character needs to be fat, then shouldn't they cast an actor with that body type?
Mm.
But then weight is something that does change, unlike race or sexuality. I'll read you a line from this piece. A lot of the time, the role that the fat suit is playing is itself meant to create or reaffirm and confirm fat phobia, says activist, and you have the right to remain fat, author Virgie Tovar. And then Catherine Singh continues, this is primarily because of the stigma and negative stereotypes often in place on plus size bodies, and the message that these bodies can be worn and taken off like a costume. It's hard to articulate the emotional experience of someone taking on and taking off your body, Tovar says. And she speaks about the shock value, and certainly with things like Monica Geller and Friends, it was a gag, the fat suit.
Yeah.
It was Monica when she was unhappy. It was Monica when she was unlovable and couldn't get a boyfriend, and Rachel's fat friend. And it was used as a comedic device throughout that. And Shallow Hal, I mean, that film. I can't believe that's Gwyneth Paltrow, actually. She has done well to get us to forget
that
was her.
Yeah.
But it is shocking to see a fat suit in 2022.
Well, I think also what will come with this is always whenever an actor gains weight for a role or is wearing a fat suit, the press coverage is, oh my God, Renee Zellweger, look how big she is.
Unrecognisable.
Exactly. There's all of this commentary that comes with it. There's this fascination with it. And we sort of just love looking at it as this weird thing. And it's not. It's just a body type that we are so completely unused to seeing in Hollywood. I mean, there is a handful of actors that don't fit the stereotypical Hollywood body aesthetic that you see on the red carpet, and it gets pointed out in numerous ways that they're there. Like, they're making some sort of statement, and it's like, well, they're not. They're just going to a job obligation.
In their body.
It is such an odd one.
But the fat suit, I think, does tie into the fact that fatness, maybe more than anything else, is such a curiosity. Still, it goes back to the circle of shame media coverage of women's bodies. We've seen men too, but certainly in the 90s and in the early noughties, it was just everywhere. You saw it all the time. You saw it on the cover of Heat, ringed pictures. Then when celebrities lost weight, they would sell their story, and it would be this girl band person shows you her transformation and is launching a workout DVD. And then it was on Perez Hilton, and it was so constant. And I thought that had changed to an extent. And then something like this shows that it just really hasn't.
Mm.
Maybe because of the pandemic and people have been travelling less, I feel like I've seen less of celebrities' bodies.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm seeing less paparazzi shots on beaches, and I haven't felt as bombarded with this commentary of bodies. But it's obviously still there. And obviously as soon as, yes, okay, this is a fat suit, but as soon as somebody's body changes, the media's going to talk about it.
Mm. Well, and also you just know at the premiere of this film, Renee is going to be on the red carpet, not in her fat suit, looking amazing, but there is going to be that, wow, look, she's risen from the flames. Yeah. There's going to be that discussion as well, which sort of compounds this whole thing. Renee Zellweger is a great actor, but I'm sure there are numerous brilliant actors who wouldn't have had to wear a fat suit, who just don't even get permitted into Hollywood.
And then we could see them on the red carpet looking amazing and go, God, they're unrecognisable because they're not wearing that weird wig, and not be focused constantly on bodies. It's also exhausting that we constantly do this thing where we see women on the red carpet after days of prep and massages and facials and haircuts and a glam squad doing hours of hair and makeup and a stylist who puts you in your clothes and two pairs of Spanx and really expensive dentistry, all of these things. And we go, oh, that's better. There they are, back to their normal selves. Oh, she returns to form. Why are we making that the normal bar?
Yeah.
Because that is an exhausting expectation to put on women.
Yes, it is.
And it's exhausting to look at a no-makeup celebrity and read, looks tired, looks exhausted.
Yeah.
Things are getting to her. Julia Fox, who's just broken up with Kanye, one of the tabloids had put up a picture of her saying she looked tearful in the airport after her breakup with Kanye. And she was Instagramming being like, I'm not tearful, I'm just running from one terminal to another. I had a really quick turnover. I'm just not smiling. It's really bizarre to just look at women who look like most of us look 99% of the time and be told they look exhausted and drawn and weepy. What do you think Kim Kardashian and Pete Davidson talk about?
I don't know, everyone's obsessed with him being just the nicest guy ever. Well, everyone says that, but I think he's sort of been recognised as the unconventional fancy, and yet he's bagged killer babes.
So varied. We've got Kate Beckinsale over here.
Yeah.
We've got Phoebe Dynevor. We've got
Ariana Grande.
Ariana Grande.
Yeah. His people must be very good at putting feelers out. Or he's just a devil on the DMs. And maybe his brazenness really cuts through the noise.
He's funny, isn't he?
Well, there you go. Long have we said a man can laugh you into bed. See, again, look, we're just dropping our standards to be like, well, you know, maybe he's funny. He's
maybe he just actually asked me a question and then listened to the answer.
Exactly.
And so here I am, $140,000 later.
Exactly.
Trying to piece back together my life because a man asked me a question and listened to the answer and it knocked my socks off.
State of the world today.
Fantastic.
Right, let's wrap this up. We've got shit to do.
Are you looking forward to anything?
Yeah, we've got dinner tonight. Me and you.
I'm looking forward to that.
Can't wait. Café Dimanche.
in the Barbican area. What are you going to eat? It's French.
Great. In that case, I want snails. I want some frites, pommes frites.
I was just wondering if there might be some moule frites.
Unfortunately, moule frites became one of my lockdown dishes. Here we go. My weekly Tesco card. You can get a packet of moule in a white wine sauce for £2 at Tesco.
Wait, you bought them in the sauce?
Yeah. It was lockdown, desperate times.
Babe, it was lockdown, none of us could go anywhere. You have time to open a bottle of wine and chop some garlic.
Anyway, I've overdone them. So now I'm afraid moule and frite and me just not going to work. But I will take some escargot and frite. And then I would like a oozy chocolate fondant.
Delicious.
Oh my God, and some wine.
Obviously.
Anyway, thank you so much for listening. If you like what you have heard, please feel free to rate, review and subscribe and tell your pals.
You can also find us on Instagram at Frankie Graden, at Charlie Gowans and collectively at the Wingwoman _.
And drop us a line with any queries, questions, comments.
Have you been conned on Tinder?
Tell us. The email address is thewingwomanofficial@gmail.com.
Yes, that is correct. You know it, you just don't trust yourself.
We will see you in a fortnight. Bye!
Bye.